And who better to talk Cal football than our longtime friend who once graced our local airwaves as sports director at KVAL-TV on Twitter. Use at Todd McKim Sports. Todd McKim, how are you and your family doing during these, let's call them, unique times?
Yeah, certainly unique. Doing great right now. Just trying to abide by all the restrictions and making sure everybody stays healthy. But all in all, doing pretty good. Thanks, Steve.
Good to hear. By the way, I loved your tweet last week about the late legendary radio voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Myron Cope. So he's telling the tale of the terrible towel, which, of course, you know, you and I are contemporaries, bringing back the days of that great dynasty. So, Todd, you have not one but two. I got to know the story of how you obtained them and kind of your connection to those legendary teams.
Well, quite frankly, I was just one of many that decided that was the thing to do to support the Steelers at the time, living near Pittsburgh, not in Pittsburgh, but about 40 miles away. And, I mean, we just all got caught up in the Steeler fever. And it was the vogue thing to do, to have the terrible towels, just like in the 60s, 1960s, that is. We all had the green weenies, Bob Prince and the green weenie supporting the Pittsburgh Pirates. So everybody's got something, a little catch. Trying to get the fans involved, make a little money for everybody as well. And so I have a white one and a gold one, and I've had them for a long time now, but they're in a safe place.
That's awesome. Well, were you an official member of Jarella's Gorillas as well?
I was not. I guess I'm not a big fan of kicker fan clubs, okay? Maybe if there'd been something with Bradshaw or Franco, but the kickers... Yeah, I was not part of the gorilla group.
All right. Well, and by the way, with the history of the game you covered last week, the big game, I mean, you know, there's the legendary call of Joe Starkey and the band on the field, and you see the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Speaking of kickers, I mean, 90-yard march to supposedly tie the game. The extra point is blocked. Where do you rate that on the cruel sports rate meter?
Yeah, that's pretty high on the meter. I don't think there's any question about that, because you mentioned it was a great drive. You figure at worst you're going to go overtime, and you're even thinking with three timeouts left, you know, maybe you kick the extra point, Stanford gets the ball, and if you do a nice job on your coverage, you know, they've got to move the ball, but you got three timeouts in your pocket, you might be able to stop the clock and get something and win the game. And unfortunately, didn't kick the extra point. Then a couple of penalties actually on Stanford at the end of that, celebrating right. The blocked PAT. So now we're kicking the ball from like the 35 of Stanford. And you're thinking, wow, now if you can really pin them deep, get three and out, you got a real good chance of maybe kicking a field goal and win it. Didn't happen. Three runs, first down, ball game over. I'm huffing and puffing because I'm on a walk, Steve. I'm going up a pretty steep hill right now.
Yeah, I was just going to say, are you running from the cops or something?
Well, I have thought about the witness protection program, but maybe not right now.
All right. Well, hang in there. This offensive line, there's a lot of new faces on Coach Wilcox's staff. Angus McClure, who spent about 10 years at UCLA. Interestingly, half on the defensive line, half on the offensive line. You know, they returned a lot of experience up front, but I noticed they're kind of struggling running it. What's the word why they're, you know, maybe having such issues and not even reaching 100 yards on the ground in two of the three games?
Yeah, there's, I mean, you know, you can make excuses up the yin-yang, but it goes back to the summer with COVID. Our guys couldn't work out at all. The fall rolled around, still couldn't work out. Then even when practices started, they're only allowed to have 75 guys on the practice field at a time. So we haven't had a scout team, okay, to go against the entire time since the middle of October. First game of the year, the defensive line gets quarantined, but we have to cancel the game with Washington. Second week, the quarantine's still in effect. We go to UCLA. They force us to play on less than 48 hours' notice. And so we still don't have our starting defensive line. Even now, we only have four scholarship defensive linemen.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty tough. Then you asked about the offensive line. Well, defensive line got it, and then 2 weeks ago, the offensive line got it. So for Oregon State, we were at without three starters, without the starting tight end, without the starting running back, Chris Brown. So they've been playing shorthanded all year long. And this week, maybe they'll have those guys all back from quarantine, but a lot of them haven't practiced in 2 weeks plus. So how effective can you be on one or maybe 2 days practice? So it's just one of those years, Steve. We've seen it around the conference. We've seen it around the country. You know, teams are missing games. Teams are missing players. And for Cal and Stanford, I think those were the two teams that probably got hit the hardest with the restrictions here in the Bay Area.
Boy, do I miss the days when we were focused on depth charts and schemes and statistics. And it's just our vocabulary is so littered with quarantine and opt-out and protocols. Oh, man, you're right. It is an unbelievable time as we continue with Todd McKim. Of course, he'll be on the call as part of the Cal Bears Sports Network. Coming into this season, Chase Garbers, one of the more experienced quarterbacks in this league, had over 300 yards, couple of picks in the OSU game. Struggled, it looked like, Todd, getting it downfield against Stanford and UCLA. Been sacked 11 times. Safe to say he's been more inconsistent than anything this season.
Yeah, I think that's a good word, inconsistent. He's had his moments in all the games, certainly had his moments in the Oregon State game. That was the one game they were able to throw the football downfield and had some big plays, the most explosive plays that we've had in a game this year. And so, you know, when you don't maybe have the confidence or you don't have the ability to do some things with some of your personnel being unavailable, there's a lot of things that can happen in the mind of a quarterback, and some of it is, I'm not getting the reads in time, or maybe the openings aren't there, or we can't run the ball, we can't play action pass as a result. So there's a lot of things, and I mean, he's got more wins than any other quarterback in the league coming back, but this year it's been a struggle for a variety of reasons, and part of it is his. I mean, he hasn't played as well as you would expect maybe a fourth-year junior, but hopefully they can get things turned around this week.
Talking with Todd McKim, obviously spent so many years here in Oregon. The new offensive coordinator at Cal's, Bill Musgrave. It dawned on me, I almost forgot to ask you about that. I mean, a year ago, if you looked at Cal's depth chart, you had a slot receiver. Now there's a fullback, certainly no spring ball. You talked about the COVID impact. Any logic to, you know, with all of these factors, that there hasn't been the normal allotted time to just allow an offense, a new one, to take root?
Again, you can use that as a crutch, but, I mean, you look at Colorado. They haven't seemed to have a problem. They're 2-0, or 3-0, I guess it is right now. So they installed everything really, really late. They had no spring practice, and Carl Durrell was hired really late in the process. So, you know, you got to get it done, but, you know, Sonny Dykes never had a fullback. He never had a tight end, and that's air raid offense. And then Justin Wilcox is trying to get the tight ends into the program and is beginning to develop some. But the fullback, you know, we haven't had a fullback, you know, maybe since the Joe Capp era. I don't know, maybe Bruce Snyder. Bruce Snyder had a couple fullbacks. Okay. So did Tedford. But it's been a position where you'd like to recruit to that, but they really haven't had an opportunity to recruit that position. They did get a transfer, Josh Schlegel from Kentucky as a blocking back, and they're trying to develop and convert maybe some linebackers to that position. But it's been something that has been difficult to do at both of those positions based on, one, limited recruiting opportunities, and two, just the late installation of the offense under Musgrave.
You know, a few final thoughts for Todd McKim getting you ready for Cal and Oregon. The defense lost the tackling machine, Evan Weaver, to the NFL. They're second best in that category last year. Coyne Dang is the leader. So in Weaver's absence, for some Oregon fans who might not be familiar with Cal just yet, who are one or two of the guys who are the playmakers in Peter Sermon's defense?
Yeah, probably the defensive lineman, Brett Johnson, wears number 90. He's one of the better guys in the league. I think at some point in time, he'll be, you know, first-team All-Pac-12. He's only a sophomore from Arizona, 6'4", about 290, former wrestler, seldom gets knocked off his feet, is now commanding double teams. And last week against Stanford, had a sack. I thought he really had two. I thought they misidentified the second sack. But he had 10 tackles. As a nose tackle.
Wow.
I mean, that's unheard of. I mean, and one of those, he chased down a guy on the screen and knocked him for for a loss. So he's really, really talented. And then Cam Bynum has been around for a long time, number 24, one of the cornerback positions. I think Daniel Scott, 32, is a pretty good safety as well. Got a little playing time in the Red Box Bowl last year. And then number 19, Cameron Good, one of the leading sack masters last year in the Pac-12 conference, is a guy that's got a lot of potential. He's got size, speed, and he's a disruptor as well. So those are the guys I think Oregon fans should look at when the Ducks are on offense.
As for Oregon, obviously a program you know well, certainly an angry flock after that Civil War loss, blew a 2-score lead in the fourth quarter. From what you've heard from the coaches, the players, and your observations, what jumps off the page regarding a strength or two of this team that has Cal's attention?
Well, I think the offensive line is a strength, being as young as they are, inexperienced as they are. Those guys are really good. They probably haven't totally gelled to the level that they expect them to be, but that's a really talented group of guys. Tyler Shuck has done really well. He leads the conference in passing yards with over 1,300 yards. I mean, the running back core is outstanding. They got four guys back there that could probably start on most teams in this conference. The wide receivers, they just make plays, those guys. And that's key, and they've got the speed, as they've always had. And then defensively, that's probably the head-scratcher, Steve,
yep,
is that they're giving up almost 30 points a game. And I know they lost all those guys in the secondary, but they are replaced by some pretty good players. Mikhail Wright's an outstanding corner as a freshman. So they've got guys back there. They just, for whatever the reason, they just haven't gelled yet. They're really talented, as the recruiting would tell you, that they've got some talent. It's just a matter of gelling. And it's a matter of, maybe you miss a tackle 2 yards downfield and the guy goes for 20 or, in the case last week, 82 yards by Jamar Jefferson. So it's a really talented group, and Andy Avalos is a really good defensive mind. So it's just a matter of time before they put all those pieces together.
And lastly, I wanted to ask you one thought on Cal Hoops. Mark Fox had some really strong seasons at Nevada. I'm going to say limited success at Georgia, 2-1 this season. They get Matt Bradley back, a couple of senior transfers from back east, from Penn and Stony Brook. I caught a bit of the OSU game. What could you tell us about the prospects for Bears basketball this year?
Well, you should be thankful you only caught a bit of that game, because that was that was not the best performance. First time out of the box, trying to integrate a bunch of new guys with, again, no time over the summer. Those guys hadn't practiced together for 8 months. Matt Bradley is a good player, an all-league candidate for sure. Ryan Bentley, the kid you mentioned from Penn, and then Mikhail Foreman, who's from Stony Point. Good shooters, both of them, outstanding shooters. But they're gonna have to go slowly with this thing. We open up the conference season against this is a nice three games to start your conference season. They open up with Arizona State, UCLA, and Oregon, spaced out over three plus weeks. But you talk about a gauntlet for still a young team with Mark Fox only in his second season. So it's going to be one of those years where they're gonna play hard. They have played hard. But they're going to be outmanned a lot of nights in this Pac-12 conference. So we'll see what happens Thursday night against Arizona State, which is one of the better teams in the league.
Folks, he's out for a walk. He's Todd McKim, part of the crew that brings you Cal football, basketball, does such a great job on Twitter. It's at Todd McKim Sports. Todd, I always appreciate your time, your insight. I want to wish you and your family health, safety, and I'm going to throw in sanity. And thanks so much for joining us, Todd. Be well.
Hey, Steve, it's always great to talk with you. Have a great holiday season as well. And hopefully we'll have an opportunity to get back to Eugene in the near future and see everybody again.
Look forward to it, Todd. Thanks again, my friend. Take care.
You got it, buddy.